Hey, Kurt and Julie.
Welcome back, Kurt and Julie.
What's up, Kurt and Julie?
Hey, Kurt and Julie.
Hi, Kurt and Julie.
Kurt and Julie.
Hey, Kurt and Julie.
Hi, Kurt. Hi, Julie.
Hello, Kurt and Julie. Hope you had a really good recharge of your batteries. We all need that, and you guys certainly need it. And welcome back to Crosspoint. This place, it is you guys, and no matter what you say that you're not Crosspoint, you are Crosspoint, and without you, it's not the same place. We love having you guys around and can't wait to see what the next season brings for us all.
I so appreciate being able to work alongside both of you. And to be able to experience firsthand the leadership and all that you do to pour into the Crosspoint tribe. Julie, obviously we work closely together in the children's area, and so appreciate the opportunity for me to continue to learn alongside you. You do such an amazing job of building into all the teams, our volunteers, and developing leaders within our children's areas. So I just wanted to take a moment to thank you for that and look forward to being able to work beside you here soon.
Thank you so much for the ministry that you both have provided for our family, for Luke and Lexi as they've been growing up in all the children's environments. Julie, thank you so much for your leadership in developing those programs for our kids and all the kids at Crosspoint and the growth that they have experienced because of that. And Kurt, thank you for just your vision for what Crosspoint is and leaning on God to just to explore what the church could be. And so we're excited about the future and what it holds. And we just thank you both for all that you've done. We love you.
I would like to take a moment to say a great big thank you from your church family. As we know, we are so blessed by both your love and your leadership and all you do in your words and ways to love and lead us well. Thank you.
Thank you guys for everything you do around here. One of the best things about you is that I always feel so welcome whenever I talk to you. I feel listened. I feel that I can actually genuinely tell you what I want to tell you without having the fear of being judged or anything like that. Thank you guys so much for everything you do, and welcome back.
We're so grateful that you were able to get away, and hopefully you come back recharged and rejuvenated. You guys are such an inspiration to me, my family, and have built into us for so many years. That is one of the things I love most about you guys. While you may not realize that, you are an example to the people around you. Grateful for your leadership and looking forward to the season ahead.
We are so glad that you got some time away, but we're also so thankful that you are back. You do so much for the Crosspoint community, and I specifically want to thank you for all of the times that you have really shown care and concern and wrapped around our family in times of need. You have been just such a blessing in our lives, and we appreciate that.
Just wanted to say thank you for everything that you do for us here at Crosspoint and outside of Crosspoint. Kurt, I know that you bring everything that you have to the table every single week and every single day, and I appreciate you not being fake in any way to us. You're real inside and outside of Crosspoint. And Julie, what can I say about your excitement? Every single day it's excitement. You come bubbling with hope and energy that we all appreciate and love and feed off of every single day. And I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart and from my family for being not just our pastor, but our friends as well.
You know, one of the things that remains a constant on my gratitude list is the vision and direction that God gave you in creating a community like Crosspoint. I mean, for Crosspoint to be a place where we don't have to have it all together, where we can grow and learn and love and accept each other, all while still being like perfectly imperfect humans, I just don't think I'll ever stop being grateful for being a part of this and for the both of you.
Well, hey, Crosspoint Church, it's so good to be with you today, and I wanted to say welcome, and if we haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Tom, and so glad to be here tonight. If you're visiting or if you're viewing online, we're thrilled that you're here today as well. Well, before I jump into the teaching, I want to pause, and I want to do something that I know is a little outside of the norm. Yeah, here at Crosspoint. As you know, Kurt and Julie have been on their study break the last few weeks. They've been offline for their, not just their study break, but the creative hiatus. And the last few days, they've been kind of easing their way back in. Kurt and Julie, we want to take just a moment and honor you all. We're so glad that you were able to take your study break this year. And when I say this, I truly mean it. You all are wonderful people, and you are incredible leaders, and you have truly modeled what it means to love Jesus with your whole heart, and what it means to go, what it means to love, what it means to serve, and what it means to make disciples. For the past 15 years, you've given above and beyond as you not only started, but as you've led Crosspoint. In moments like these, words seem to just lack power. They just seem to fail us. But on behalf of the Crosspoint board, Kurt and Julie, the Crosspoint staff, the entire tribe, we all want you to know how much we deeply love you. And the video from the staff was a small step in that direction. But you all have served, you have sacrificed, you have led, and we just wanted you to know that we are beyond appreciative and grateful. So Kurt, if you would, I want to invite you to come up here for just a minute. And as Kurt comes, I want to invite you, Crosspoint Church, to stand and just honor Kurt for just a few minutes, and Julie as well. Kurt, I know you weren't expecting this, and I know it's way outside the norm, but as a team, we just wanted to communicate how deeply appreciative this community is of you. So what we did was we called Brenda Palmer, and we asked her to pull together a couple weekend away itineraries, and it's our hope that it'll fit into your fall calendar, but whatever works for you all. So all you have to do, there's two options. One's in Louisville, and the other one's in New Buffalo, Michigan. And all you have to do is put it on the calendar, pick the itinerary, and everything else will be taken care of.
All right. Well, man, that's amazing. Thank you.
Here.
Thank you.
You are quite welcome. Oh, one more thing. You've been given some champagne bottles, or not champagne, it's sparkling water. One for you. We want to toast you and Julie as just another way of saying thank you. And there's all the details inside there. So if you're here, if you're watching online, whatever you're drinking, coffee, whatever it is, you can join us. But just take this little red thing, go all the way around, and then pop the top. And whoa. Didn't expect that. But to Kurt and Julie, our fearless leaders who we honor and love, may the days ahead be the best for you, for your family, and for Crosspoint Church. Cheers. Cheers. You're welcome, man. You're welcome, man. You're welcome. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And Kurt, you know, I know that's way outside of the norm of some things that have probably gone on here in the past. And you just have to know, you may be seated if you haven't already, but I made a really, really hard push to call this Pastor Appreciation Weekend. And the staff just wouldn't have it. Matter of fact, I was told that it would have your butt puckering. I didn't even know you could say butt puckering in church, but... And I assure you, that's the first time I've said butt puckering in church. I can't stop saying it, so I'm going to try to gather myself and move on. But if you're new to Crosspoint, or you showed up here today, maybe for the first time, and you're curious about the church, or the Bible, or maybe even Jesus, my message is going to feel just a little bit like you walked into a locker room. And in some ways, you have. Tonight, my job is to play coach and to talk a little bit more than I did a couple of weekends ago about Jesus's plan, his game plan for reaching the world and sharing his love and his message of hope. This summer, the teaching series has been Spark. And so all month long, we've been looking at various ideas to ignite change. Change in you, change in me, change in us, change in the world. We've had some fantastic speakers and just some tremendous ideas that really do have the power to ignite change. How fantastic was Ann Brannon, Ann last weekend? Just incredible, right? Fantastic. Today I want to talk about the word go, and I want to finish my two-talk mini-series inside of Spark. Two weekends ago when I taught, I talked about the invitation of Jesus to go, to love, and to serve. And we looked at one of two passages that are commonly referred to around the church as the Great Commission passages. We looked at Mark chapter 16, verse 15, where it said of Jesus, Jesus actually said to some of his first followers, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So Jesus' challenge in Mark 16 and my challenge a couple Sundays ago was to go to the people and the places where we work, live, and play and simply love and serve those circles. And I'm convinced even more today than I was a couple weekends ago that simple strategy is a big part of Jesus' game plan for helping people find their way back to God. And so today, I want to take a few minutes and I want to unpack the second part of Jesus' strategy to take the gospel or the good news about Jesus to all creation. Tonight, I want to look at the second Great Commission passage. It comes to us from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And if you aren't familiar with the Bible, Matthew is one of the four books in the second half of the Bible, the New Testament, that tells the story of Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, I mean, these are some of the final words that we have of Jesus. Now, think about, I don't know if you've ever been with someone in their last moments or their last few days, but man, the last words that they speak are the ones that hang with you, right? Have you had that experience, Scott? Have you had that experience? I mean, those are the words that really hang with us. And so these two sentences, along with Mark chapter 16, verse 15, capture Jesus's plan A for reaching the world, and there is no plan B. Now, let me say that one more time. The words that I want to talk about today and the words that I just read to you from Mark chapter 16, this is Jesus's plan A for reaching the world, and there is no plan B. So if that's true, the invitation for you and me is to lean in today. Lean in just a little bit today. Here's the words of Jesus in Matthew 28. They might be familiar to you, they may not, but here's Jesus speaking. He says to his first followers, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I am with you always to the very end of the age. So for just a few minutes, I want to just pull out some key phrases. We don't have time to fully unpack the whole verse, but I want to pull out just a few key phrases that's going to help us jump into some ways that I think that we can make this really practical for you and me. Jesus says, first, go. I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but Jesus' invitation in this verse is to go. And if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, going is not optional. As we go about our daily lives, as we go about our daily lives in the places where we work, live, and play, there will be people. And there will be people there that have been placed there for a very specific reason. And some of those people are going to be far from God. And they still haven't found what they're looking for. And it is our responsibility, it is my responsibility, it is your responsibility to ensure that they experience and hear the good news of Jesus. Jesus said, go. The church was never meant to be a place of a destination. It was always meant to be a place that was a launching pad for those to go to the places where they work, live, and play. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. He says, go make disciples. Jesus started his earthly ministry around the age of 30, and he modeled this strategy for us, this disciple-making strategy, because one of the first things that he did was he gathered a team. he gathered a team of 12 individuals and he referred to them as his disciples. And not only did he have 12, but he had some very unique experiences with three of the 12, Peter, James, and John. I mean, these were the men that he was going to hand the keys of the kingdom. He was going to hand these guys and allow them to be the foundation of the first century church. He encouraged the masses, he healed the sick, he fed thousands of people, but he was intentionally focused on a really small core of people, a circle, a handful, 12, and in some cases, even just three. Friends, that's what we've been called to do. We've been called to go and make disciples. And you know what is so unsettling to me? It's that there are such a few number of Christ followers that can tell this story. A few years ago, we got new neighbors. And we started hanging out, and quickly we became friends. And before too long, life got messy for my neighbors. And we loved them, and we served them. And curiously enough, they started asking questions. Questions about Jesus and the Bible and church. And over dinner one night, our neighbors accepted Christ. And man, did they have a ton of questions about what their decision to follow Jesus meant for their everyday lives. So we started meeting on a weekly basis. And man, we would answer their questions and process their questions. We started reading the Bible together. And you're not going to believe what happened a few months later. Our neighbors are beginning to repeat the process with some people in one of their friend circles. Friends, I don't know how to say it any more clearly than we have been called to make disciples, and that includes you and me. Disciple making is not the sole responsibility of the church, its pastors, its leaders. That endeavor is for you and me. And you know, I believe that the church, the Big C church, the Christian church, let's just make it about America, the Christian church in America is in need of a second reformation. The first reformation happened back in the 1500s, the Protestant Reformation, and at the core, what that did was it took the Bible and it put it back into the hands of the people. And I think the reformation that we need to see in the church today is to put disciple-making back in the hands of the people. Because it's not just the call of the church to make the disciples, it's the call of every follower of Jesus to do the same. The words, therefore, go and make disciples, that's you, that's me, that's our responsibility. You know, 2 weeks ago, as Scott has mentioned, we had the opportunity to experience our first grandchild. And he is awesome and he is perfect. And, you know, I anticipated what that would be like, right? I've been a parent. I've had littles around. I knew what that was going to feel like to hold an infant and watch it grow and all of the memories and experiences that you would have. But what I didn't anticipate was the immeasurable joy that I experienced watching my kids become parents. And to know that they would get to experience the joy of parenting a son, a child. And as I was preparing my message this week, it hit me. That must be how God feels. When we join him on his mission to go into our places where we work, live, and play, to go to the people that God has specifically put in our lives, and we love them, and we serve them, and we bless them, and then they start to ask questions, and we begin to pour our lives into them, and it repeats to multiple generations. What it must do to God's heart to see his children reproduce. Friends, that is our primary calling, not only as individuals, but as churches. And it should be normative that every believer could tell a story of walking someone to and across the line of faith and then pour their lives into them to where they become an obedient disciple of Jesus and the process repeats. Friends, that was Jesus's plan A for reaching the world, and there is no plan be. So Jesus says, go and make disciples. And he says, teach them to obey. Jesus said the focus of disciple making should be this idea of obedience. It isn't about knowledge, gaining knowledge. It isn't about discovering some big idea about God. It isn't a class we attend or a certificate that we get. It really is about hearing God's voice and following it. And as we hear God's voice and we follow it with an ever-increasing level of consistency, it's learning to become obedient to the commands of Jesus so that we become more and more like him. Jesus said, go, make disciples, teach them to obey. And then he just adds this really powerful tagline. He says, I will be with you. The invitation on the other side of this go is scary, right? I mean, thinking about the questions that you may encounter, the conversations that you might have, the mess you may step into. But Jesus says, I am with you. I will go with you. I will go before you, and I will go with you. So let me ask you a faith question. What cannot be done with Jesus? Friends, this is short list. Matter of fact, I would go on to say it is an empty list. If God has called you, and he has, he will equip you. And Jesus has called each of us to go and make disciples, and he promises that he will go with us. So hopefully you have leaned in and you're beginning to say, okay, Tom, I get it. I've heard the verse, I've read the verse, I've seen the verse, I've heard the verse taught on before, and you've made your point. What's the game plan? Well, let me give you three things to think about, and then I want to share some next steps, and then I want to end by telling you a story. The first thing is you got to intentionally follow Jesus. You know, I mentioned earlier that it can't be overstated enough, but following Jesus at its core is about obeying his commands. It's about living an obedient life. It isn't about just checking boxes, showing up, occupying a seat, serving once a month. I mean, it is about an ongoing, increasing depth to becoming more and more like Jesus. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 14, verse 15. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. It's not about following a few religious rules, but it's about a life that's being shaped and formed so that we were becoming more and more like Jesus. It's about hearing and following his voice. It's about a life marked by love, a love for God and a love for others. It's about a heart and posture of a servant. It's about reaching into our relational circles to love and to serve. It's about being generous with all of our resources. It's about making disciples in the places where we work, live, and play. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. So it's about intentionally following Jesus, but it's also about being transformed. It's about being changed in an ongoing spiritual transformation in your life and in mine. As I've said before, it's about becoming more and more like Jesus. The unfortunate truth about most believers that show up churches just like this is they live the same spiritual year over and over and over. The same scriptures, the same experiences, the same songs, the same sermons. And there's no change. If you want to live into this call to go, to love, to serve, to make disciples, it's got at the heart of it, it's got to be about intentionally following Jesus. It's got to be about living a life that is being shaped and transformed by the cross. I love the way Peter says it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. I don't have time to unpack this, but let me just give you kind of the core of it. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And then he lists all of these incredible qualities. He says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. Hear that? Hear the transformation? Hear the ongoing transformation? He says, that'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. If our spiritual lives look like they did last week or last month or last year, we have work to do. If we're not becoming better followers, better parents, better spouses, better employees, better friends, then we have work to do. If you're a follower of Jesus, your life should be marked by ongoing change. And then the third thing that I'd give you to think about is engaging in the mission of Jesus. Engaging in the mission of Jesus is about joining God in his redemptive cause in the world. I mean, God could have reached the world in a variety of ways, but the craziest things to me is that he chose to use you and me. Reaching into our relational circles, building a relationship with someone who's far from God, helping them walk to and across the line of faith, and then pour our lives into them so they become an obedient, transformed, more like Jesus disciple, and the process repeats. Friends, that was Jesus' plan A for reaching the world, and there is no plan B. Before I jump into some next steps and tell you a story, I want to leave you with this thought. A disciple is someone who has moved from being the recipient of the church's mission, think about this statement, to being responsible for the church's mission. And I don't know a church on Holyoke Road or in Hamilton County or the United States that doesn't need more people who are not just recipients, but they're responsible for the mission of the church. My invitation 2 weeks ago, my invitation today is the same. Go, Cross Point Church. Go love. Go serve. Go make disciples. So let me give you three next steps, and I don't have time to unpack these because I want to tell you a really good story as we close this. One, here's the next step. Number one, go be an everyday missionary. This place was created to be a launch pad. If you haven't figured out what it means for you to be launched into the places where you work, live, and play, then you put your head down, you get on your knees, you reach out to someone, you reach out to me, I'll help you figure it out. Go. Don't stay. Go. And then secondly, pick three. I mean, think about your relational network. Pick three people with the goal being, I'm going to walk them to and across the line of faith. I'm going to pour into them, and I want to see the process repeat. Friends, just do the math with me. If everyone that considers Cross Point Church their home reached one person in the next 6 months, and then poured into them for the next 6 months, and everybody did the same, when you get out 3 or 4 or 5 generations, 4 or 5 years from now, you will have reached hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And then the final next step is Pioneer Training Center. I know we've been talking a lot about that over the last couple of weeks, and for good reason. If you're looking to kind of dig deep into some of the things that John West shared a few weeks ago when he was there, or what I've shared with the two talks, the two opportunities that I've had to share, the Pioneer Training Center is the perfect place for you to unpack all of that and get clarity around what it means for you to go into the places where you work, live, and play, be the hands and feet of Jesus, and make disciples that make disciples. So I want to challenge you, sign up tonight. Use the Connect card. If you can't figure that out, come to me. I'll help you get on the list. Tonight, I want to end by telling you a story. It's my story. In 1994, my wife and I moved to Cincinnati to plant a church. We were 23. We'd been in ministry 2 years. We'd been married 2 years. Scott, we were fully prepared to plant a church, man. I mean, we were ready. We spent 9.5 years. We started a family, bought a house. From a ministry standpoint, it had been a lot more losses than wins. It had been a lot more heartache than it had what you would describe as success. And after 9.5 years, I was absolutely ready to quit everything. The only thing I didn't want to quit was my marriage and my family. Home was a safe place for me. It was a place that was life-giving. But man, ministry, church planning, setting up and tearing down, all of it. I did not want to do it anymore. I was ready to quit. Very, very, very long story short, in 2004, we decided to emotionally shut that church down and to leverage the couple handfuls of people we had and allow God to give birth to something new. And so in 2005, Christmas Eve, Journey Church held its first service in a high school auditorium in Westchester, Ohio, on the north side of Cincinnati. And 3 weeks later, we launched for the first time. And man, those early days were fun. Everything you could count was up and to the right. People were coming to know Jesus. It was one of the most adrenaline rushes of just impact. It was just crazy cool, crazy fun. But Journey Church didn't start on Christmas Eve in 2005. It started the first Saturday night in October a few months before. We'd done a lot of work in vision prepping and strategy, and we were chasing some resources, and I got connected with a new church planting organization that was willing to fund us, but they had some particular things about the churches that they were passionate about. One of them was that the lead pastor had, in the words of the organizational leader, you better be able to really bring it. I mean, when you I need you to bring it. I'm not funding any pastor, any church planter that can't bring it on a Sunday morning. So here's what I'm going to do. He said, Tom, get everyone that wants to launch a church in Cincinnati together, and I'm going to come up. I want to hear you preach. I don't want a devotional. I want a full 30-minute sermon, and I want to see if you can bring it or not. If you can bring it, we'll fund you. Now, how about that for pressure, right? I got one sermon to get funding for this new church, but I have good news for you, Crosspoint. Every now and then, Kurt, you can probably vouch for this. Every now and then, you get a sermon, and I mean, it's good. You know it's going to be good, right? And you got a good hook, you got good illustrations, you're familiar with the text. I mean, you're ready to go. I had that. Some of you remember this. Back in the day, Gatorade had a marketing campaign, Is It In You? Remember that? Is It In You? Remember this? Anyone? Anyone remember this? And so I had developed this list, the points that I wanted to make. So it was, do you have a passion for people who are far from God? Do you believe God is able? Do you believe God is able to change a human heart, that he's able to change a community, a city, a world? Do you believe that God can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things? Do you believe God can use you? And then I was going to pause and punch him with, is it in you? Come on, now that's good, right? Can I get an amen from the choir? Do we have a choir here at Crosspoint? Anyone? And so I was fully prepared, and we're meeting at a church, sister church on Saturday nights. Our team was, and Robin was going to be there, and so I had to give this great sermon so we could get funding. And I told Andrea and the kids that I was going to go up a little bit early, make sure, you know, sound check and the band was doing okay. And there was a park about halfway in between the church and my house, and so I would often go there and write and pray and walk, and so I decided to stop by there. And I'm reading through my notes, and man, the Holy Spirit spoke to me as clearly as I've ever heard his voice. He said, Tom, you thought this sermon was for your people. This sermon was for you. Because it's not in you. You've lost your passion for people who are far from God. You don't believe that I'm able. You don't believe that God can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. You've lost the understanding that I can use you. So now, not only did I have a good sermon, now I had an unexpected story to tell. So I go up to the church and the worship happens, and I get up and I preach my heart out, and I get to the end of that sermon and I tell this story about going to Keener Park and how I wrote this sermon for you, but this sermon was really for me. Now, I grew up in an old school church. This wasn't the way Journey was, but I grew up with old-fashioned altars. And if you had a prayer to pray or you had a commitment to make, you got up out of your seat and you walked to the front of the church. And so I told my church, who was very unfamiliar with altars, we didn't use them up to that point, even though this older church that we were meeting in had them. And I said, listen, I'm going to kneel down here at this old-fashioned altar and I'm going to confess that I've lost my passion for people who are far from God, and I don't believe that God is able. I've lost the understanding that not only can God use others, that God can use me. And man, I knelt down and I prayed my heart out and I confessed and I said, God, when I get up, make me different. And I invited the team. I said, if you're here tonight and that's you, I don't know, this sermon was for me, but it might be for you too. And if it was, you're welcome to join me. So I could tell people were kind of gathering around me, and Robin lays hands on the group and prays a really sweet prayer. And I got up, and in an old school way, I lived a preacher's dream. Everyone in that room that night knelt at that old-fashioned altar. and said, we're going to have a passion for people who are far from God. We believe that God is able to change our city, and we believe that God can use us. And I'm telling you, that group of people was changed. So Crosspoint, I only have one question for you. Is it in you? Because that's the fuel. The things that I've talked about in the 2 weekends that I have the opportunity to share, the go, love, serve, go make disciples, what drives all of that is a deep passion for people who are far from God. It's a belief that God is able, that he can change Fishers, that he can change Hamilton County, and you can be a part of that story. It's a belief that God can use you, that God can use all of you. And if you don't believe that, if that's not red hot, then my invitation for you is to find a quiet space right where you are seated and just say, God, put it back in me. It has been such a pleasure to be with you. And let me pray over you as we close today. Father God, I thank you for Crosspoint Church and the launching pad that this place has been over the last 15 years and the impact in Fishers and Hamilton County. We celebrate all of that. But God, when I look back over my shoulder at everything we've been through over the last couple of years, it has not been an easy season. It's not been an easy season for any of us in this room, anyone watching online. It's not been an easy season for anyone in leadership. God, sometimes when we go through hard things, what was in us at one point isn't anymore. And so, God, as we think about more clearly and more passionately, more intentionally answering the call to go, love, serve, and make disciples, may you first rekindle a passion in anyone that needs it for people who are far from you. Rekindle a deep belief that you are an able God, and that you can use us. In Christ's name we pray.